Good morning, church. This morning, I want to start by telling you sharing with you a true story in some way to set the context of what I want to share with you this morning. About August 2009, my wife, Anne, she was on her way to Tonga to join her grieving family for the loss of her younger sister, who happened to be one of 89 people who went down in their island boat that sunk and capsized in the middle of the ocean between islands in Tonga on that night. So carrying that emotion with her, she left Melbourne to Sydney. She got to Sydney and she was there for a few hours before she took another flight, a 5 hours flight duration to Tonga. And on their way to Tonga, as the plane came down and ready to land, suddenly the passenger realized that as they're about to land, the plane started to accelerate again and went up in the air. And they did another circle and came down and they were hoping to land, and it happened again. It's the same thing. The plane took off and accelerated and back up in the air. And for the second time, they went around. And then they were informed by the pilot that they are redirecting their journey to Fiji instead. And can you imagine the panic, the frustration passengers felt that moment? They got to Fiji and they parked there for several hours and they were told that this time they will leave. But instead of going back to Tonga, they left to Auckland, New Zealand. They were there for a few hours. And then they board the plane, and this time on their way to Tonga. As they got closer to Tonga, the pilot informed them that they will soon land, and the weather is beautiful, sunshine, and everyone excited. They got to Tonga, and Anna shared the fact that when the pilot came out, after talking them through the whole journey, that the two pilots came out and share the experience with the people and check to see that they were all okay. Everyone, almost everyone, stood and clapped and applause as a way of giving thanks for the two pilots who got them through safely to their final destination. Now, why I share this story? Firstly, I want to say this publicly to the people of Werribee Baptist Church. As we landed on this final Sunday, the end of year 2021, I think we should take time to stop and applaud and give thanks to our two co-pilots, together with their cabin crews, their ministry crews, who have steered a ship all the way throughout this year, through stormy weather and uncharted water, making various decisions along the way that was hard and difficult, and brought the ship, the church, to this day. We ought to give them thanks. We ought to give them thanks, and Pastor Stan and Pastor Justin, together with your family and all those who were there to support and help making decisions and being there. As a pastor, I know how difficult this has been. It was really a hard year. And I just want to say on behalf of the Werribee Baptist Church, to you, your family who have been there for you, and the cabin crews, the ministry crews, we're there each week. We want to say thank you. And if everyone were here today, I'm going to ask everyone to stand, and just like those passengers on a plane, to applaud and just to express this sign of gratitude to all that you have done throughout the year. Now, as we stand at the beginning of this year, I want to say secondly that we could apply the same story, the same application. We can all stand before the throne of God and say, thank you, Lord, for being the pilot that brought the ship, that brought the church, that brought our lives, our families, to this day as we stand at the beginning of this year. We just want to thank you, and we just want to come humbly before you and just want to say thank you for being our pilot for our this year. We could just do that and we go home. Perhaps we can stand at the closing of 2021 and we can look back and analyze the year, and we could say something like, well, this has been a good year in spite of the challenge that we went through. But I have been able to establish a home office, and it was so great that I could do that from home and spend time with the family, time that I would never have been able to share with my family. You know, how great I am that I got to finish this project that never gets done. And maybe for others, this has been a very difficult year, perhaps a bit more harder than last year. The impact of COVID and the lockdown, the effect on us, our relationship, our career, and our family, and our faith as teachers, as parents, as children, and so on. We missed being there for our grandchild's birthday, and we're going to be there for our family's funeral, and the list goes on. Now, let me say this, that there's nothing wrong at all with evaluating the year and analyzing the situation that way, because sometimes it is very helpful just to name those things that we struggle through, because it's quite healing in itself when we verbalize it, when we name them and all of that. And we're saying it out loud. But this morning, I want us to go back to yesterday, just yesterday. I want you to think about the big story of yesterday, the birth of Jesus that we celebrated yesterday, because there is something in that story that will help us to review the year, and it will help us to kind of approach it more pastorally. And being a pastor myself and a counselor that often sit with people and going through their past as part of the counseling, it sits well with me today that we can sum up the year by turning to a God whom I can relate to on a pastoral level. So sit with me as I explain. Yesterday we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, and an event that was foretold by prophets of the Old Testament. Isaiah in particular, and listen to this. This is what he says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. A child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. My eldest daughter is her name is Jane, and in Tongan it's Saini. Her full name is Saini Halangahu Falaedau Halagafuefu Vermatahau. We never really say her middle names, but you know what? My mother, her grandmother, will usually call her the different name, different time in the middle, because while it doesn't really make sense to us, and even for her, for my mother, saying this name brings memory, significant, a memory of her mother, because saying his name after her mother, it brings history, it brings the family, it takes her back to her upbringing, and it's quite significant and so much more important to her, these names that was given to her, but not so much more for us. Now, the prophet Isaiah gave the names Wonderful Savior, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. And if you think about those four names, I would argue that most of us would be addressing God as Almighty God. Whether we pray or whether we just approach the name of God, we would say Almighty God, maybe most, if not all of us. Then Eternal Father. Father, we use that in our prayer, in our meditation. The Prince of Peace or God of Peace, we would use that quite often when things are unstable. Wonderful Counselor? When was the last time that you pray, Wonderful Counselor? Have you ever approached God or think of God as a counselor? My guess is that be very few of us that have done that. Well, this morning, we're going to learn about God as a wonderful counselor and what that means as we look back over the year 2021 and look ahead to 2022. And if there's anything that we can learn from God as a counselor that can apply to our lives and how we can minister to one another as we go into next year. Now, if you're not familiar with the book of Lamentation, you know, following, you know, the destruction of Jerusalem and the people were taken into captivity in Babylon, it was really hard for these people to really deal with the aftermath of what had happened to the ruined city. It was really hard for them to watch a city that was used to be filled with people, a temple that used to be populated with God's people. They just could not believe what had happened. So in the structure of this book, the five chapters, in the first four chapters, the people have been silenced and speechless. They really struggled to connect with God. And then we come to chapter five, the grieving people begin to speak. They suddenly awake. And it says in chapter 5, verse 1, "Remember, O Lord, what has befallen us. Look and see our disgrace." Some translations said, "Remember, Lord, what had happened to us. Look and see our disgrace." And another translation has said it this way, "Lord, remember what has come upon us. Look and see our reproach, the national disgrace." So let us work our way back to the first four chapters and see that the Jewish people had really had a hard time to the point that they didn't really know how to pray anymore. They didn't feel connected to God anymore. They didn't really feel that they can depend on God anymore. Well, we know that it's not often easy when something so devastating has come into our lives. And maybe that has been your experience this year. For some, you feel a real distance from God. You felt so low and so far from God. And maybe for others, you couldn't pray. You could rather just sit with the Bible verse or just listen to a sermon on a podcast or perhaps, you know, just listen to some music as a way to connect with God. And maybe for others, you wonder if God is still there with you. Describing his own journey through grief, C.S. Lewis writes, and he put it this way, "Meanwhile, where is God? Go to him when your need is desperate, when all other help is vain. And what do you find? A door slammed in your face and a sound of bolting and double bolting on the inside. After that, silence." Lamentation in this context describe that experience exactly. Chapter 3, verse 44, "You have wrapped yourself with a cloud so that no prayer can pass through it." And this was the experience of these people. They were so shocked and they were stunned to what had happened to them that they were unable to speak and connect and communicate, unable themselves to pray for themselves and pray to God. And for the first four chapters, they've been sitting in silence. They don't speak a word until we come to chapter 5. And it was like those passengers in a plane. For most part of their flight, you know, the happy passengers, they were so excited, looking forward to meet their family in Tonga. Now when unable to talk and chat, they were sit quietly and didn't really say any words and said that somewhere just the panic and, you know, they couldn't wait and they were just so anxious what could happen in that journey that they could not land in Tonga in that story. Some sleeping and others just staring at the window with the hope that they will arrive safely back in Tonga. Until the final chapter of that journey, they left Auckland to Tonga. And when they heard the voice of the pilot saying, "We're expecting to land in 20 minutes and the weather is fine and it's beautiful sunshine in Tonga," everyone started rejoicing and started chatting and started smiling. They started eating. And in fact, some were just singing because they know they're going to come and land safely in their destination. But all along, the pilot have been communicating for them, have been updating them as necessary. The crews have been there checking up to see that everyone's okay. In Lamentation, the first four chapters, the people have been sitting in silence, but someone has been speaking in that chapters for them. Someone has been speaking through them. I'm going to call this person the counselor. And what happened in this remarkable book is that a counselor come alongside the grieving people and ministered to them in their sorrow, in their loss, in their depressing situation. But we may ask, who is the counselor in this story here? Well, this person, as we know, is never mentioned. It's not named. And we will get to answer that later on. But at this point, we can see that the ministry, that this person, the wonderful counselor, that was prophesied by the prophet Isaiah, he exercises a model of what I could call the pastoral counseling at its very best in our Christian context. So if you want to be a pastoral counselor and be a part of our pastoral counseling team next year here at Werribee Baptist, or just be a pastoral counselor in your home, in your relationship, or in a workplace, here's a 20 minutes approved training for you. 20 minutes to sit with me. And two things that we're going to learn this morning from this wonderful counselor. We're going to learn what the counselor does. And secondly, the fruit and the outcome and the product of the work of this counselor. So firstly, what the counselor does. Number one, the counselor sheds tears with the people. Lamentation 1:1, how lonely sits the city that once was filled with people. How often we as pastors and a few people on a Sunday morning during the lockdown, we walk into the church on Sunday morning and we see an empty room and empty chairs that used to be full every Sunday. How quiet the shopping center that used to be busy every day. How terrifying it is that we have to stop people from coming to church because of vaccine status. Picture someone sitting with their hand in their head in their hands, looking out over the ruined city. And someone comes and sits down beside them and say, how lonely sits the city that once full of people. How lonely a room like this that used to fill with people is empty. Now, the counselor speaks for the people. As I said before, he's not a detached observer. He's not a grief. He is in a grief with the people. He sits beside the people and he weeps with those who weep. The counselor shares the suffering of his people. Their city was his city. And their sorrow was his sorrow. Their loss was his sorrow. And that is true to us today. This year, our pandemic was his. Our loneliness was his isolation. He grieved. Our lockdown was his lockdown. The wonderful counselor stayed with his people. And when we look back this year, this wonderful counselor did stay with you and I throughout the whole year. Now, that's not the kind of counseling that we used to out there in a society. You know, the counselor do their job, we pay them money, we go and have a session, and then we go home, they go home, and they spend time with their family, they forgot about our problem. They forgot about our issue. You know, as a pastor, whenever I get to sit down with people, and I know us as pastor is something that we always do. When I sit with people for pastoral counseling, sometimes I often feel as if their problem is my problem. Their situation is my situation. I could just feel it. I carry it as if it's my burden. I grieve as if it's my loss. In fact, this just happened last Sunday evening. Now, this book of Lamentation is telling us that when the people of God were at a place of so dark and so desperate that they could not speak for themselves, someone came along and wept with them. And he spoke for them as one who knew and filled the suffering and understand their loss. And he wept. Last Sunday, I happened to be present in front of a grieving family, lost their 3 weeks, your old baby. And I happened to be there, someone who came along and cried with them when the mother couldn't hardly speak a word. Folks, if you think that it's bad to let go of the emotion and cry when you're grieving, then you better think again. If you think that crying is not culturally relevant and it's a sign of weaknesses, then you better listen up here. Jesus wept. The wonderful counselor cried. And if you think that this year was tough and hard, he was there and he wept. Surely all of this point to Jesus, that wonderful counselor who comes alongside his people by his Holy Spirit. We read in John 14:16, the Lord referred to the Holy Spirit. There's another person that come alongside, that he will be ministered to you. Christ ministered to us for the Holy Spirit throughout this year. A wonderful counselor have been grieving with us this year. The second thing is the counselor does is that he speaks truth to the people. If you turn to Lamentation 3, we will see that there's a very striking change here. Not only that he speaks for the people, he now directly speaks to the people. And he says, I am the man who has seen the affliction. Notice he addressed himself as the man. Let's say if I, one Sunday morning, I make an announcement that if you have any problem at all, come and see me. I've got it all. You know, let's say you come and say, how great would it be that you come and share the frustration that you've just gone through a divorce. And I say, before you describe it, I've got it all set it up. I've got all the fix and all you have to do, and you go. I've done marriage course and I'm qualified. I've got a certificate in marriage counseling. Or maybe you come and share your stress in losing a job, and I say, well, I used to do an employment recovery program training. Here is the way you can recover yourself. Go and be at peace. Or maybe you come and share about your struggle to reconnect with God. And I say to you, don't worry. You come to the right person. I've been a pastor for 18 years. I'm sorry. I feel sorry for you. And yet, I have never experienced what it's like to go through divorce. I never lost a job to know and feel what's it like when you're suddenly being, you know, taken off from a job. And I never have experienced what it's meant to be disconnected from God that severely. When the counselor said that, I am the man who has seen the affliction, your suffering, your pain, your agony, he himself knows quite deeply what that is like, even from the day one in the garden. He suffered, if we go through the Lamentations chapter 3, verse 1, he suffers under the rod of God's wrath. He's driven into darkness without any light. He calls and cries out for help, but God shut out his prayers. He feels that his endurance and hope are gone. And folks, if you have not had a taste of those experiences, if you have not suffered, if you have not been in the dark places, if all your prayers have been answered, if you are always very positive when you're going through tough time and challenges, then you are not qualified to be a part of my pastoral counseling team. But if you experience any of that this year, then you are welcome to the ministry of the welcome of the wonderful counselors. He's been there. But here's the good news. Having described the depth of his own suffering, the man tells us about his hope. But this I call to mind in chapter 3, verses 21 to 22. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. The counselor seemed to be moved between these two ministries of speaking for the people and speaking to the people throughout the book. And as we look back at the year to 2021, God is saying, yes, I have seen what you have gone through this year, the pain, the sorrow, the stress, the anxiety, all of the above, everything, I've seen it all. But here is the good news, there is hope. The steadfast love of God never ceases. His mercy never runs out. And I can only imagine the grieving, sorrowful Jews who have been silent all along. When they hear that, they slowly get up and start speaking like those silent tongued passengers in that plane. That's when we come to chapter 5. And it is here that we start to see the impact of the ministry of the counselor. And here in chapter 5 alone, that we find three significant outcomes from a good biblical counselor. So very quickly, bear with me. The first fruit of counselor's ministry is that the counselor leads people to pray. And listen here, very simple. That's our outcome that we're hoping for when we counsel people. Lamentation 5:1, remember, O Lord, what has fallen us. Here's the first fruit. He brings them from a place where they're unable to speak to a place for the very first time since the drama they have suffered that they are able to speak to God for themselves. The counselor brings them to a place where they can pray and worship and give praise. And if you're a minister to someone who is in a dark place, that is the kind of fruit to be able to help them to give praise and expect them to see, to be able to pray to God. I know that throughout this year, we've had weekly prayer meeting held here online on Wednesday. Again, I want to thank you. This is part of the cruise that being a part of bringing our ship to the end of the year. So when we are not able to meet together, God continues to counsel his people, and his people responds and continue to pray even when we're not together. That is a beautiful fruit that we witness here in this church. As you would expect from this story, the prayer comes out of tremendous agony and pain. Does that sound familiar to you? That reminds us of something very important, that you don't have to be perfectly composed with a frame of mind filled with a wonderful sense of peace before you can pray to God. If we have to do that, if we have to sort that out, we will never get there. You know, when Hannah prayed, she was deeply distressed and wept bitterly. And look at our Lord Jesus crying. When he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, his soul was overwhelmed with sorrow, and yet he prayed. And I know for sure that all of you have joined that prayer meeting on Wednesday night and all the prayers that are happening on a Sunday morning and in the life group settings and in your home. Many of those prayers are spoken out of fear, out of anxiety and frustration with everything that happened around us this year. And it is because of God's quiet work of counseling us through the work of the Holy Spirit that we are able to respond through prayer. And there's more. The second thing is the counselor grow and mature people in faith. Chapter 5, verse 18 to 19. But you, O Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures to all generation. And through the ministry of the counselor, the people finally get to the place where they're able to pray. And they lay their sorrow before the Lord. And we see that in the earlier verse 17. It says, for this is our heart has become sick. For these things our eyes have grown dim for Mount Zion, which lies desolate. But, what is that but? But you, O Lord, reign forever, your throne endures to all generations. And Paul picked up this idea for the ministry of counsel, the people finally get to the place where they are able to pray. And then Paul picked up this idea in Ephesians 2. You were dead in trespasses and sin. But that but come again. But God, being rich in mercy, made us alive together with Christ. They're looking at a ruined city. But listen here, the wonderful counselor has brought them to the place where they can see that God doesn't depend on a city. And likewise today, God doesn't depend on a good government. God doesn't depend on a healthy economy. God doesn't depend on the best vaccine. Or God doesn't depend on a perfect system. God has brought us to a place that we can grow in our faith and dependence on Him. You know, I've spoken to many and I've heard so many testimonies at Essendon and even here at Werribee Baptist, where people share how they have grown in their faith during lockdown. Yeah? From spending more times with the Word of God to learning to depend on God and not on their own wisdom and wealth and everything else. From learning to live with little to getting to a right, to choosing the right priorities before God. And let me ask you, have you grown in your faith this year? Has your priorities in God is set right? Have you fully depended on Him and not on your own job and wealth and career and wisdom and resources and money? Have you made a decision to accept Jesus Christ, a decision that you've been holding off for quite some time? Just keep asking that question yourself as I talk about the third and final fruit. The counsel restore people to hope. Restore us to yourself, O Lord, that you may be restored. God is so honored here, wonderfully, here in this expression of hope. Lord, restore us to yourself. And maybe some of you here today need to make that commitment and perhaps to pray this simple prayer here by saying, Lord, if only I have you in my life, I can face anything. And whatever happens tomorrow, there is hope so long as I have you in my life. How simple that prayer that you can pray right now. Because that honors God wonderfully. What a wonderful ending to know that we can be restored and have hope in God. And that is a great fruit. But when you think about that last verse in the end of that chapter of Lamentation that have drawn the story to a conclusive ending, it said that the fruit of the counseling session is that people will grow in their prayer and their faith and hope. The same people still have questions. When I first read this, I thought it would have been so much better if Lamentation just finished on that verse 21 and take verse 22. I don't know why it ended up there. Restore us to yourself, O Lord, and we will be restored. We will be restored. Is that a nice, perfect ending? Why spoil it with verse 22? And I know there's a few verses in the Bible slide that. Well, what kind of ending is that Lamentation? God never make mistakes, and that verse is there for a purpose, for two reasons. Verse 22 is there because grief is never neat and tidy. People who pray, people who worship and raise their hands and grow in their faith, people who walk with the Lord for so long, people who are renewing hope still have questions. The Bible said that we walk by faith and not by sight. One day we will find, you know, we will turn to sight, but today is not the day. So until the day, we will always have questions, and that's okay. It would have been much, you know, easier for me to, if these grieving parents and family comes to me last Sunday and say, Pastor, we just lost their child, but we're okay. We're fine with that. There's no problem. The last verse of Lamentation guards against a premature closer. And secondly, the question in verse 22 was not answered for years. Lord, are you done with us? God's people knew that God could restore Jerusalem, but they did not know if he would do it. Lord, we know that you can. We just don't know that if you will. Let me ask you, have you been asking those similar questions throughout the year during the lockdown? To answer the final question of Lamentation, we need to roll forward, going forward nearly 600 years when the book was written. The counselor took flesh. And yesterday we just remembered the birth of Jesus Christ, the wonderful counselor. And he was born as a way to answer the final question in Lamentation at the cross. Lord, are you done with us? Lord, have you rejected us forever? will you be angry with us forever? And God answered this question by sending his son. He became the man of Lamentation 3:1, the man who suffered affliction under the rod of divine wrath that we read back in Lamentation. And how extraordinary it is that after Pontius Pilate after Jesus was put on a cross, and he put the crown of thorns on his head, and he said this, "Behold the man." Maybe he had no idea that what he was saying fulfilled Lamentation 3:1. Folks, it is okay to ask questions when we find ourselves in a very dark places. And while we may not see and know the answer, God, the counselor, is working behind the scene to answer and respond to our concerns. Now, let's draw a conclusion and let's just quickly recap and wrap up the sermon by recap what we have learned from God as a wonderful counselor. What the counselor does, he sheds tears with the people and he speaks the truth to the people. And what are the fruits of a counselor's ministry that they can apply to our lives? He leads people to pray. He grows and establishes and matures people in faith and restores people to hope. If you got all the 5 points correct, come and see me, and you are qualified to be a part of my pastoral counseling team. Friends, today as we land on the last Sunday of the year, we can look back and say with full confidence that our wonderful counselor have carried us through to this day. And we like the Tongan passengers who stood when they land and on a plane to Tonga, we can stand and say, wonderful counselor, thank you for weeping and staying with us throughout this year in our struggle. Thanks for interceding for us when we remain silent. Thanks for speaking to us and guiding us when we lost our ways. Thanks for allowing the challenges and the situations that we've gone through and the experiences this year to happen so that we can come to our knees and pray, so that we can grow in our faith and depend on you, so that we can humble ourselves in true worship, and so that we can continue living in hope as we go into next year. Would you join me as I pray? Wonderful counselor, we thank you for being our wonderful, caring, loving counselor throughout this year. May we know you more as our wonderful counselor. May we call upon your name when we are in need. May we be like you, a wonderful counselor to others. May we bear the fruit of that in our lives and in the lives of those we minister to. We thank you and we pray this in your wonderful name, our wonderful counselor, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.